Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Good morning, saints. Put your hands together. We greet you in Jesus' name. Well, as you can tell, I have a little bit of the botch of Egypt today, but I know the Lord is with me, and I know I'm going to preach it well anyway. We're in our series called The Name of the Lord, chapter 12. And today we are, oh my, the name of God we have today is one you've never heard of. But you need to hear of it because we're coming into a new season in the world where God is going to bring vengeance and justify his people. And the name is, say it with me, El Nekamoth. El Nekamoth. El Nekamoth means God, my avenger. It's found in Psalm 18:47. It is God who avenges me, David says, and subdues the peoples under me. He delivers me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the Gentiles, and sing praises to your name. Can you say amen? Psalm 18:47 to 49, beloved. Oh, listen again. Psalm 35:1-3. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Amen. Listen to Romans 12:19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Well, beloved, when we are first hurt and wounded, and we suffer emotional slander or betrayal or any kind of hurt or false accusation, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Our first instinct is we want to pay back, right? So I'm going to settle this issue. And we want payback, and we want it to be worse than what was done to us. Now, that is your flesh. Welcome to your flesh, honey. Your flesh and my flesh is tuned to want to bring immediate payback and immediate vengeance when we are hurt or harmed in any way. And that's why our subject today is dealing with the name of God, El Nekamoth. John Piper says, woven into the fabric of reality, the fabric of the universe and this world, is God's absolute commitment that justice be done, that every dishonor done to his glory by our sin will be punished, in order that the infinite worth of God's glory might be upheld and displayed as the ultimate good and the ultimate value. The ultimate worth and excellence and treasure in the universe. This ultimate commitment to bring vengeance on all sin flows from the very God's very being. Close quote. Beloved, ultimate vengeance belongs to God. And so it's a category mistake when we step up in place of God and try to bring about vengeance. Now, I'm sure I'm not talking to a group that's ever tried to avenge yourself in any way, shape, or form. But did you know it is God's category? He is the vengeance bringer. And so when you try to step up and get in his way, you block the most perfect vengeance in the world. You know, God is perfect. Listen to Deuteronomy 32:35. Vengeance is mine and recompense. Their foot shall slip in due time. Listen to that. Their foot shall slip in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand, and the things to come hasten upon them. God says, don't worry about it. Don't step up in your own strength. Remember our leading text in Isaiah 50? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. El Nekamo today. But it says, behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled, this shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. God says, you know what? Whenever you're tempted to use your own talents, gifts, and abilities to start a fire of vengeance, you're gonna lose. It's as soon as you begin to justify yourself, you've lost. As soon as you begin to take your issue into your own hand, well, I'm just going to settle this right now. This isn't vengeance. This is just me explaining myself. God says, leave me to what I do really well. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. Look at five reasons to leave vengeance to El Nekamot. Stuart Chase says, El Nekamot will act, maybe not on our timetable, but we can trust him to act. Hebrews 10:30 says, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is certain El Nekamot will bring vengeance. You say, well, I haven't seen it yet. Well, hold on. Hold on. It's certain he will bring vengeance. Second, El Nekamot knows all things. He alone can judge all motives. Look at Jeremiah 17:10. I, the Lord, search the heart, test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. God says, I know everyone's motives. I know why everyone does what they do. Therefore, not only will I bring vengeance, but I know exactly how and exactly when and in exactly what measure. What's interesting, the third one, El Nekamot alone knows how to measure out true justice. No more, no less. Remember this verse, Exodus 21:24, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot. What's that got to do with? Well, God is measuring out balance in response. And he says, you know, in your life, we tend to get so angry and we want to immediately jump to self-vengeance. We want to defend ourselves, and usually we give life for foot. God says, if you just lost a tooth, you had to give a tooth. If you just lost a hand, you had to give a hand, but we like to give life for tooth, right? Out of balance. When we try to bring vengeance, we're trying to kill everybody. We're trying to bring, God says, I alone, El Nekamot, I know the balance. I will not, if it's a tooth category, exact anything but a tooth from the person. You say, Craig, I still don't understand who you're preaching to today. Where? Next, El Nekamot causes us to lay aside revenge as an act of obedience. Listen to what Jesus said. But I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. Matthew 5:39. Jesus said, you know what? It's an act of obedience that you be gracious. God will take care of the vengeance in your life. You say, Craig, you don't know what they did to me. Well, El Nekamot calls us to display Christ-likeness. 1 Peter 2:21 and 22 says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. He did not retaliate, beloved, even though we do. Now, I don't know anywhere in the Bible clearer in dealing with vengeance than looking at King David and Saul. Do you remember the relationship that Saul and David had? Remember Saul was a king of the flesh. Remember, he was anointed with a flask, a man-made thing. Same oil, but Samuel used a man-made flask to anoint Saul, because Saul was not a God-made, God-called king. He was a man-made king, and he was a man of the flesh. And Saul hated David. So all we see is the harp and the spear. David's always worshiping, and Saul is always throwing the spear, trying to kill David. And I just want you to catch a glimpse real quickly here today. Twice David was given the perfect opportunity to exact vengeance against Saul. What would he do? Well, 1 Samuel 24, 1 through 7 says, "Now it happened, when Saul had returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, 'Take note, David is in the wilderness of Ein Gedi.' Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road, where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs." He went in to go poo-poo. "And David and his men were staying in the recess of the cave." I hope so. "Then the men of David," listen, beloved, I don't care how close people are to you. Don't let the people in your life misread providence. Listen to what David's closest bodyguard said. "David and his men were staying in the recess, and the men of David said, 'This is the day of which the Lord said to you, Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you.' And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe." Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him. His conscience bothered him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord." So David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to raise a hand against Saul. And then guess what? David goes out and he says, "My lord the king," after he's done going potty. Notice, David and his men are in the cave. Saul has 3,000 warriors out front waiting for him to come out after going to the bathroom. David follows him out. They go up on the mountain and he says, "Hey, Saul," he goes, "why are you seeking to kill me? Look in my hand. This is a piece of your robe. Today the Lord gave me into your hand. I could have killed you, but I did not. Your life is precious to me." And Saul is very moved for the moment. Saul's a really emotional guy. He can turn the tears on and off when he wants to. "Is that the sound of my son, David?" Yeah. But as soon as David turns away, Saul orders him dead again. That's not the only time David rebuked. Notice he rebuked his men for misreading providence. Beloved, it's not what happens, it's what it means. We have to be very careful with our hermeneutics, our interpretive skills in interpreting events. 2 + 2 = 22. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. And these guys are convinced that it is time for David to take vengeance into his own hand, and David has to rebuke his men and say, "No, no, boys, no, no." Once again, 1 Samuel 27:7 through 11. "So David arose and came to the place where Saul had encamped, and David saw the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the commander of his army. Now Saul lay with the camp, with the people encamped around him. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and there Saul lay sleeping with the camp, with his spear stuck in the ground by his head, and Abner and the people lay all around him. Then Abishai said to David, 'God has delivered your enemy into your hand this day. Now therefore, please let me strike him at once with the spear right to the earth, and I will not have to strike a second time.' But David said, 'Abishai, do not destroy him. For who can stretch his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? No self-revenge.' David said, 'Furthermore, as the Lord lives, the Lord shall strike him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall go out to battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. But please take now the spear and the jug of water that are by his head, and let us go.'" And so David runs out after Saul again up on the mountain. He goes, "Abner, you really suck as a bodyguard." That's what he says. He goes, "You should die, Abner." Abner says, "Who is this speaking to me?" David says, "Why did you fail to protect the king, the Lord the King tonight? Where is the cruse of water? Where is his spear? And Abner's looking around, and David throws that spear right down into the ground. And he goes, I could have killed for a second time. I could have taken vengeance. And it would have looked like it was a God thing. But it wouldn't have been. Because God did not want David to take vengeance himself. Oh, beloved, I don't know how tempting it is for you to take vengeance. But we are coming into a season where we must allow God to have his way with regard to vengeance. We are coming into a time where the Lord is going to bring great recompense of blessing upon his people. You hear vengeance and you just think, you know, he's going to cut everybody's heads off and this and that. I'm talking about when the Lord comes to visit you and give you your due, give you the great blessing of your life that you've been waiting for. God, El Nekamoth, he's the one that brings vengeance and he brings reward. And he's about to bring some catastrophic reward, but please don't turn it down. You know, I can't tell you how many people that refuse blessing. They will not have it. And God says, no, I really want to bless you. No, I won't have it. No, can't do it. No, won't have it. Say yes when he wants to bless you, beloved. Amen. In this season, it's time to say, yep, bless me, God. Gimme, my name's Jimmy. Gimme, my name's Kimmy. That's what this time is for. Listen to Proverbs 20:22. Do not say, I will recompense evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will save you. Again, listen to David, the life-giving principle of his life. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. Psalm 138:7. Oh, beloved, just soak this in. Listen to this. This is my favorite. This is like one major guiding principle in my life. My favorite proverb, Proverbs 24:17-18. Do not rejoice when your enemy falls, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord see it and it displease him and he turn away his wrath from him. Oopsie. Don't. There's something in our flesh that wants to see our enemy fall, and we want to go, na 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 na. Look at who's falling right now. God says, if you do that, I'm going to turn the thing around and bless him instead. Don't even curse your enemy when he falls, because God says, I don't like that. That's a weird spirit. Don't you think so too? In short, we have to relinquish our right to get even. Beloved, I know that you've been hurt in life. I know that you've been wounded. We've all been horribly wounded in life. There are people who intended to do it. There are wounds that we've all sustained, and there's no way to justify them. They're horrible. But God says, stay out of my lane. Stay out of my way. I'm going to bring vengeance in due course, in the balanced context that it needs to be brought. And I'm going to also bring you blessing. The Lord is the one who brings recompense to his precious children. Mm-mm-mm. I don't know, recently I've been looking left, right, and center, and I've been seeing new jobs appear in our people here. I've been seeing new blessings. I've been seeing little gifts. Come on now. We've had some blessings hit here. We've had some new homes bought. We've had some new little flickers of God bringing recompense, a blessing to his precious children. And let's just celebrate that. Amen. It's important. Don't just pray. Praise as loud as you prayed. Amen. We always beg real loud, but we don't praise real loud. Isaiah 50:8 says, he is near who justifies me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near me. Oh, Isaiah 50:8. Listen, we've just got a few more scriptures, but I just want you to just Listen to them. A treasury of scripture. O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongs, O God, to whom vengeance belongs, shine forth. Psalm 94:1. And you remember the words of Paul in Romans 12:14, 15, 16, 17. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, Paul says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't that tasty? You see, everything we want to do in the flesh is to take vengeance, and we want it to hit harder than what hit us. And the Lord says, and sometimes you even call it righteous indignation. No, I have a biblical right to do this. It's not hatred. It's just righteous indignation. Well, beloved, if it has anything to do with vengeance, God says, stay in your lane. Get out of my lane. Because, beloved, you can't bring vengeance in proper and due balance. You can't do it. And you just mess yourself up. And you mess them up when you try to do it. Just doesn't work, does it? Think of the last time you tried to justify yourself. Beloved, there is a God in heaven, El Nekamot. Now, I know you've never heard that name, but I don't think you'll ever forget it. El Nekamot, the Lord, brings vengeance. Father, I pray for these precious lambs today. So many have been so wounded, so stuck by the enemy's spears, Lord. Raped, wounded, violated. And yet, God, in the midst of all of that anguish, you say, I will vindicate your name. I will take care of it. Lord, we humble ourselves right now before we, and we give you permission. You are El Nekamot. You are the God of our vengeance, God. We yield to you. We lean to you. We give our hurts. We give our wounds. We give all of the difficulties, God. All the valid hurts and acts of destruction that have come against us. We lift these things to you, El Nekamot. In due course, in due time, and in due balance, we know you've said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So Lord, we trust you. We take our hands off the bitterness. We take our hands off the unforgiveness. It's time to give that up. We take our hatred. We take all of these senses of entitlement, Lord, and we bring them to the blood of Jesus Christ this morning and ask you to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. You're El Nekamot. You are our God. You are our vengeance. And we commit ourselves to you, Lord, and we wait upon you to bring recompense in due course. And all the people said, amen. Could you put your hands together and praise the Lord? Beloved, I know it's rough. I know it's been rough. And many of us have survived many decades of setbacks and difficulties. But we have a God who brings vengeance and recompense. It doesn't mean he's just going to wipe your enemies out. It means he's going to bring recompense. He's going to bring good things. He's the guy that says, hey, I'm the one who brings the blessings. I'm the one who brings the boxes to the door where there are treats and there are blessings and there are gifts and there are new anointings for you and for your life and for your family. Father, we pray a special blessing today upon all the lambs under the sound of my voice, God, that you would begin to visit them with recompense, Lord. That you would bring answers to prayer that have been waiting and waiting and waiting, that you would speed up answers to prayer, God. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. David, come and bless us with the table of the Lord.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome. Wow. Amazing message. We're going to start with the unleavened bread. So go ahead and grab that. I have good news for you. Such good news. All the vengeance that God the Father had against you, he poured out on Jesus. Every bit of it. There's so many people that mistake their injury or their illness or their sickness for God's vengeance on them. No, beloved, no. Everything that was, all the curses of Deuteronomy, all that fell on Jesus. Think about Jesus' suffering in Gethsemane. Think about his suffering when he was scourged. Think about his physical suffering on the cross. All that he did for you. All that he did for you. He is the bread of life. So let's take the bread. Let's break it because he allowed it to be broken for your health and wholeness. Let's partake. In like manner, all the vengeance that God had against your sin, your failures, your mistakes, your disobedience, all that was poured out on Jesus at the cross. And Jesus, in response, poured out his blood for you. All your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name. Let's partake. Oh, amazing. It's amazing what he did for us 2,000 years ago. For those of you watching, if you'd like to continue to participate in what we do here at Bethel, which is preach the good news of Jesus, please join us. Join us. Participate in prayer. We love your presence. We love you watching and being part of our worship. And if you'd like to also financially contribute, we'd like to receive that. You can fulfill what Jesus asked us all to do, and that's preach the good news. So thank you for being with us today. Thank you for supporting us, and may God bless you this week. In Jesus' name.
We hope today's message has been a blessing to you, and if it has, please visit our website at drcraigjohnson.org. There you can find additional messages of encouragement. And if our ministry has been a blessing to you, please consider us in your ministry giving, as we depend solely on the financial assistance of our listeners like yourself. Also, please feel free to send any personal prayer requests. You can find us online at drcraigjohnson.org. God bless you.